Thank you. Yes, we have a... I was a supervisor for a Master's of Public Health project, and that student has first went to work for the state of Nevada, and then he went to medical school. So I was the faculty supervisor. I'm really not normally from maternal and child health specifically. I study health policy, and access issues, of course, are a big question. But I usually focus on tobacco and drug safety and politics of science. But I'm very happy to that we can contribute to your session, and these questions of accessing healthcare, of course, are important. So we have partners. The student went to work at the state, as I said, and so we have this team that helped with the analysis also. So I have nothing to disclose. And, of course, you probably understand the achievements of immunizations, but we have to keep that in the background. And so we have, infectious diseases have been addressed. We have two vaccines that could prevent cancer, and so on. Major diseases eliminated from the United States. But in Nevada, unfortunately, we often rank worse on many indicators, and we are among the worst in preschool vaccinations. And so we focused on accessing cost, provider challenges, and parental beliefs, just as background. But to review, the pediatrician's recommendation, or I mean from the CDC, is this series now, the 431, 3314, up to 35 months. Right, so that's the... And we have Nevada here in the darker blue with the diamond being lower than the nation. The most recent series, is there. It's, they've added to the series. So. Anyway, consistently low, unfortunately. And if you look at percent... then, we continue to be low there. So historically, we are at the lower end of preschool compliance. We were recently last. Actually, I haven't looked. I think there are new numbers now since we submitted this abstract. But we were recently last in that series. Without that last part, that last four, somehow that made us look better in the data, so we went to 45th. It's kind of this. At every meeting we have in Nevada, it's always our joke. So there we were when we were 51st. But then somehow when we get to kindergarten, we do a little better, and we're actually better than average. And so school entry requirements seem to be effective. We're a little bit better than average at entrance to kindergarten. And actually, much of the country does pretty well with that. Nationally, it's 93%. And so here are what the states nationally on the left, and then what Nevada achieves, for the various series. A little low on chicken pox, I guess we are. So we know that if we look at system-based barriers to accessing the care, how healthcare is organized, and cost is going to be huge. Now, for the total cost for everybody, has been estimated to get through the series at maybe $2,200 per child. And one study found that that's increased 4 to 5 times in the last 15 years or so. So there is that cost there to be borne by somebody. And then we know that the patients have their own barriers. Some have that belief, that the myth about or mistrust of medicine and the vaccines and the side effects. And then just parents we have autonomy of choice, right? And parents are allowed to decide things before trying to enter a kindergarten. And so, but we know, you know, when parents are deciding to deviate from the CDC, that this increases risk for the child and actually for all the public and people who can't get the immunization and so on. And then we wanted to review the provider, possible provider barriers, because we're seeing anecdotally, you know, providers will put you on a different schedule, a delayed schedule, and it may be hard in the clinical interactions to explain to the patients what's going on and what they really need. And so the providers, sometimes there are studies that say, first of all, that they are where a lot of people get their information is from the physician, but also that they aren't necessarily equipped to deal with all the questions that come up when parents have concerns. And so they can't always explain the indications and counterindications and so on that are from the latest science. So for this study then, the student wanted to examine barriers to acquiring vaccination by Nevada residents, and we use data from the BRFSS. And so I'll show you the question, the relevant question in a second, but the that data, the Nevada data on that question had not been analyzed or reported elsewhere. And again, the BRFSS is the state-based survey looking at, you could use it, it's self-reported on health behaviors, but it's you could identify problems or track objectives and look at policies. And so the state of Nevada added the child influenza vaccination module and the random child selection module. And so there was a question for this child, has there ever been a time when you've taken him or her to get vaccinations but could not get them? And there was also a question that said, why were you unable to get the vaccinations? And performed a descriptive analysis and an AOR to see who's more likely to experience a barrier. And so we had 8,000 adults in the survey, and then respondents with children, either the biological parents, and then were the respondents married, what was their education, their ethnicity, and so on. For Nevada, those are some of the frequencies. And then people who reported barriers to access. They were more often female, black ethnicity, in the lower income bracket, and the children was less than 3 years old. The child was less than 3 years old. And the most prevalent barrier that we found was cost, which is interesting because really it's a misconception because there are programs and ways to get in. Unfortunately. So just thinking it's too costly to access the physician. And certainly a lot of it is real. I mean, even if something costs minimally out of pocket, we know that that's a huge barrier in healthcare. So we were wondering about people who live with different types of family arrangements, if that had some kind of, if that was interesting. And we found that grandparents reported less barriers. So we have a discussion point on that, but there's the analysis. And here's the whole table if you want to see the ones I already mentioned. Other things that were not significant are kind of interesting, I guess. And just too costly was the one that was statistically significant. So then that leads us to think about poverty status as a barrier. We know in other areas that that is a persistent barrier to accessing healthcare, and it seems to be a barrier to timely vaccination. So the lower income households meant that you had a 2.4 times increased odds of not accessing your timely vaccination. And also that caregiver variable, grandparents, again, were significantly having less of a problem. And we know from the literature that maternal age has been positively correlated to better adherence. And so we were wondering maybe if the grandparents remember the older diseases, for one thing, that makes it more important to get your vaccinations on time. And then the problem of cost. Parents perceiving a high cost. Children whose parents thought it was too costly to see the physician were five times as likely to report this barrier. So, and then we looked at, but insurance status was not a significant variable. So that didn't seem to be explaining the problem. And we know then that we have programs also. So we need, again, this is evidence for childhood vaccination policy that would address health disparities, that would help us increase vaccination rates. We know that we have the Vaccine for Children's program, so that if you aren't insured or are on Medicaid or don't have access, you're supposed to be getting these for free. And then we know it's an important program that works, but we did find this report. So the Nevada State Health Division has a special project on immunizations. We also know that what's coming with the new law is that Medicaid's expanded, right? And so more people are supposed to be in that program when that goes on. But we've identified these. I mean, all programs should try to identify if there's a more specific target where we need to focus. And certainly low SES, again, was the problem in Nevada. And sometimes, for example, in other areas, could be ethnicity. We know health disparities, again, are persisting, and that perception of cost could possibly be addressed by parental education. Although we know, you know, with all that literature on health literacy, we know how difficult that is. But maybe if we can have a targeted, easily accessible campaign with some catchy slogan to explain that you can get your vaccinations and just continue health promotion efforts. Okay, that was the student's position. Thank you. Oh, I saw you first in the back. Sorry. Yeah.
I was just wondering, we have a immunization with relationship. Where?
Oh, interesting. Okay. You're from Contra Costa County, right? Okay. Good.
So,
yeah.
I think that the state of Nevada has got an integrated. I mean, mm-hmm, got a database. Mm-hmm. I mean, the education.
Okay. Yeah. I'll
find
out, because I wouldn't know what they already have there. But okay.
Thank you. Maybe 30% of all children in California.
Mm-hmm.
About 100% of all the
Okay. Right. Okay.
My question is in response to the policy of Nevada. So, do they require children who are entering in the education system to be immunized when they start? So I know in Baltimore, mm-hmm, City, there was a big campaign where children couldn't even start school. I mean, there was some issues where you're not allowing children to even go to school because they're not immunized, but it's more of a public health protection of those who are. So is that something that Nevada has looked into? Is making that a requirement?
Yeah, and we have it required to go to kindergarten.
Okay.
And so we thought that explained why we were doing the same as the rest of the country at that point. It's just getting to, you know, below age three when it was harder to tie it to anything, any incentive like that, I guess. But, yeah, we do have that requirement. And then I know people are starting to look at when people can, how easy it is to claim exemptions or personal choice exemptions. And there are good comparative state analyses coming out of if those policies matter. Okay, I don't know who's next. Hi, okay.
So did you guys get any more qualitative feedback in terms of the folks who had grandparents, you know, and sure, like, why do they have less barriers that they think?
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. We could probably see if that survey had recorded any open-ended comments or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are long phone calls, and people don't always give that much qualifiers on there. But I think, I don't know, maybe they don't have to work as much somehow, or maybe, you know, they're free to do more childcare routines and have less of the challenges that people have mentioned in the previous talks, actually. Yeah. Yeah, okay, right. Yeah, no, that's a good question, though. I myself prefer qualitative analysis, so I would like that, but yeah.